If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the Supreme Source. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is thousands of advanced star beings are entering our world. And suggestions for star child parenting. So, if you are a star child, a star elder, or raising a star child, I think you will find this seminar very interesting and hopefully helpful. So, if you're ready, take a deep breath and ask for the clearing for yourself for this evening, that you could be aligned with the information that would serve you best in your own unfoldment and in that of your children. And whatever is your allotted portion at this time, ask for the very, very highest good, for the most divinely orchestrated, most benevolent outcome for whatever you are facing in your life right now. You know it's your right, and actually your responsibility, to do that. You keep calling yourself forward into what you would have real, into what you would have divinely anointed and empowered in your life. And it comes out of your mouth, out of your heart's intention, and out of your active requesting. But when you ask, you must also step into that which you have asked for and begin acting as if the request had already been granted, because it was granted before you asked. But in time, it will have an unfoldment that may not be immediately evident to you. So know that in the illusion of time and becomingness, you have to exercise that patience, knowing that it shows up in the absolute perfect flow that is for your highest good. But know that once you have asked, that has been given instantly with your request. And so you just move into it and embody it minute by minute, step by step, day by day, as best you can. And know that where you fall short, the divine spirit that lives in you and operates through you as a vehicle of manifestation takes care of the details. It's not given the human being to be perfect. Because, as a spiritual being, you couldn't be other than perfect. For you are made in the image and likeness of your source, self, creator, which is absolutely perfect, eternally, and not affected by time, space, and events. So, we're going to be looking at a very interesting topic, and it's one that I've experienced up close and personal, being an early star child that came in conscious and aware, and raising a couple star children, and mentoring, through my years of ministry, many other star children, and star beings and extraterrestrials and those who are here on Earth assignment from a myriad of worlds. And I've done that both physically and working spiritually in the inner planes. So many of you that I speak to each week are also counselors, teachers, mentors, people who are working with all kinds of people. But if you're fond of this particular weekly radio show on BBS Radio, you are probably very, very attuned to what I share each week, because this is for those of you who are of the Christ race. That's why we call you closet Christs, because you have to choose to step out of the closet of your personally embraced sense of lack and limitation. That is something that was imported into your reality by a misunderstanding of self, which we call the ego mind. And so you have to choose to step out of that closet. And each week we give you a pep talk to help inspire you and encourage you to stand in your original innocence and holiness. Because your holiness as a co-equal Son of God with our elder brother, Jesus, as a co-equal child of God, that's why we're here. We're here to assist this beautiful planet to take a major leap into what we would call the new era, the new earth, the golden age, whatever you want to call it. Many, many prophets, I keep coming against, not coming against, but coming upon prophets lately who have been saying again and again, it's 2020, 2020, 2020, when everything is made new. And that falls in alignment with Satya Sai Baba, the great cosmic avatar, and many of the native elders, 2020, 2020. It seems that 2012 was the deciding factor as to whether or not humanity would destroy itself or it would choose to go into the new earth vibration. Now, I am not of the opinion that we were ever in jeopardy, because as I've said a few times, I come back in time from the future. And so I know that humanity made the choice for love, for brotherhood, and for co-sharing this planet. So I was never concerned that we would have a third world war, that we were going to destroy ourselves. But apparently that information was not given to everyone, because many, many feared that we would be destroyed. And many negative apocalyptic scenarios are still being preached and talked about and foretold. And all I can say is, gosh, they must be operating on a really old timeline, because I don't see that. I've not been shown that ever. And because I've come back in time from the future, and because all of these wonderful children that are being born now on the planet by the thousands, many of them are seeing the same thing. And you know what? As long as these incredibly advanced children are being born on the planet, do you think we have a thing to worry about when it comes to our future? These advanced star children are not here on the planet to witness its destruction, or to be wiped out in some apocalyptic event, right? So anyway, I'm going to get on with what we want to talk about tonight. I'm going to cut to the chase by sharing some things about the children that are here. The youngest member of Mensa is six. Ellen DeGeneres on her show the last few days has had some absolutely astoundingly brilliant children that were 6 or 7 that seemed to be walking encyclopedias about certain information regarding the planet. It was amazing. I have in my family 2 genius Mensa members. One is my nephew, and the other was my cousin, who became a psychiatrist in Berkeley. That seems appropriate. But anyway, they were at an age when they were ready for college at 9 years old, and there was no one that would accept them at that time. The youngest known professional medical doctor, and I believe he's a surgeon, is 16, working in a hospital. Children as young as 18 months report coming here from another planet and often speaking very specifically at that early age. Not only speaking, but telling who they are and why they're here. 18 months. Hello. It's reported that the Lord Buddha spoke when he was just a few hours old. But we're talking about many, many children, all the way up to 16 and from infancy up to 16, that are very aware of who they are, where they've come from, and are able to speak. Some of them able to write and speak at 2 and 3 years of age. Many of them, as I did, asked to return to their real family, their parents or home where they've come from. These children seem to be encoded and shown prophetic visions. They're also shown, in many cases, the multiple timeline scenario unfoldments, because it seems that different people will experience different timelines, depending, I suppose, on what they vibrate to or perhaps prefer. These children coming in have IQs regularly in the 150 to 160 normal range for them. Some even up to 185 IQs. Wow. All of them, seemingly without exception, have stated that they've come in to help humanity. And they've come to help us through the current cycle of earth changes, which is cleansing and preparing and testing. But it's actually part of the earth's shift in her own being so that she is ready to receive these higher vibrations, and she has to adjust to be able to do that. And all of them, without exception, seem to be very awake, aware, loving, and wise. So they represent a new root race of beings, which actually represents our next step of spiritual advancement. They come in with 4 extra codons of DNA, and oddly enough, have been said to be able to eat anything, kind of like a goat. Their bodies have apparently mutated to where they can eat whatever, and it works for them. Some of them are hybrids that were conceived aboard ship and are part of a different extraterrestrial race and part of what we call human. But to tell you the honest, absolute, bare truth, everybody on our planet has been seeded here from another planet. Everyone. There's no one, I don't believe, on the planet. I may be wrong here. But I believe that every existing human being is originally from another planet, and their colonization here through many, many millions of years. So there's different, let's say, blends of consciousness and galactic races that go into the gene pool of the planet. And all of that so-called junk DNA, I think 97% of it, is actually designed to be operated and operational through all of us as we expand out into the cosmos and are welcomed as part of, the galactic family, which is what is happening right now. So many of these beings are time travelers and what we could call time jumpers. Some of them are able to jump from one reality, one timeline, one place in history to another with just an intention to do that. Time travelers, I suppose I would be called such, able to go forward and backward in time and operate in many realities at the same time. These children come in with advanced paranormal abilities. Very often there's no one that they feel that they can really talk to, really share what they're experiencing. Sometimes because there's no words in our vocabulary, and sometimes because they just sense that the people around them are not operating in the same reality, and naturally they don't want to be looked at as freaks. So very often they're silent. After a certain point, I realized, I think when I was 6, that the people around me were sound asleep. They were not playing a game. They weren't pretending to not know who they were. They actually did not know. It was like being with amnesiacs. And so I talked to my cats and my dogs and horses and, all the animals seemed to understand. But humans, no. I learned not to talk to them much. So these children can read and see with any part of their body. They can read with the soles of their feet through the leather of their shoes. They can read with their cheeks, their foreheads, their hands. It's pretty amazing to see some of these children operate. And they can speak, in some cases, write, translate several star languages. I know one person who can read, write, and speak 5 different distinct star languages and translate them into English, and has developed an alphabet for each of those 5 star languages. This is a very young person, by the way, too. Many of them can bilocate and manifest and move objects with their mind. They can levitate in many cases, dematerialize and rematerialize. They are natural healers. They can see through solid objects and read people and their intentions in a nanosecond. Unfortunately, very many corrupt governments are trying to use some of these advanced children for espionage. They're trying to co-opt them. They're trying to find them, locate them, and then use them to look through, secret files and things of that nature. I think in many cases, these children will not permit that. But there again, you have to train the lower self. We all come in with a lower self to align with the soul purpose. So they may, in some cases, actually be co-opted into these conspiratorial kind of scenarios. I can't say that from experience. I don't know that for a fact. Just sharing information on that. I'm going to speak now about us as a we who have come in as star children and how we operate. As souls, we come in as in groups. Let's say groups that are aligned with a particular function. Now, that doesn't mean that we know each other in the physical dimension. But I will say that we recognize one another when we do happen to meet. We're found in every nation, in every skin color, in every culture, in every religion or none. And in all varieties of personality presentations. I wouldn't say we're visually, physically particularly unique. However, perhaps in some cases we tend to glow. You know, if you're really attuned to spirit, you begin to radiate divine light. And your face takes on a luminosity. It looks like there's a light under the skin in many cases, a radiance. But that's not so in every case, because sometimes these children are born in very repressive regimes, and they might come in looking very unspectacular as a form of protection. But the thing to remember is that we work as a team. We're never alone. Even though the physical body may be alone in a remote part of the earth, we are connected in a universal team of co-workers. And while we may be working in the physical, we have team members in the physical and on the inner planes that are working in coordination with us all the time. We're never, never, never alone. The other thing is that an invention may be given on one part of the earth, and because of our grid field alignment and work as a team, there may be someone on the opposite side of earth that brings forward exactly the same invention. That would be a coworker that's attuned to that particular mission, let's say to bring in a form of radical healing. We have some incredible healing technology from our other planets that's based on light and sound and resonance, harmonic resonance restoration. We have ability to clone from a cell any organ that may be needing to be replaced or to insert a cell that communicates to the other cells, say, for example, within a diseased organ, and the organ spontaneously regenerates from within. So we don't need any kind of surgery or, invasive surgery. We don't need that. We just need the frequency of that particular cell from a particular organ and place it in. They've got this new thing in dentistry where with stem cells, they can rebuild teeth, regrow teeth. Isn't that incredible? Pretty soon there won't be need for false teeth. So this technology has come in with the extraterrestrials working as scientists, as doctors, as people who are out there inventing and bringing forward these new technologies. They're on the planet, they're growing, they're proliferating. And last week, remember I shared about the Integratron, which was a time reversal machine? Things like that are going to be more and more in evidence on the planet, more and more. So we seldom realize how connected we are and how unalone we are. That initially, we tend to feel very different and like we don't fit in or belong anywhere. It's really lonely until you kind of wake up to who you are more fully. We'll tend to long for a place that we dimly remember, a family, a sense of community, a reality. And we have this deep longing within to find that and to our place, our home. But we can find no match in the outer world. And, we find very few, if any, certainly years ago, that we could deeply communicate with. That's beginning to shift now more and more, particularly here in California. I don't know how it is in some places that aren't quite as advanced as California, but certainly here in Southern California in particular, you'll find many people that are quite awake. So many star-seeded children feel like they are constantly seeking for someone, some lost identity, some ability or power. Many people feel the loss of the abilities that they took for granted on their home worlds. I know I did. And I think that's true of just about all the starseed. So the feeling that one was born sometimes amongst strangers, you know, you look at your family, you think, who are these people? There's just nothing in common with them. And you feel like you're in the wrong family. Or many times, these star children will feel that maybe they were adopted. In the olden times, such a child was called a changeling, that somehow they were changed. You know, I guess we'd call them a walk-in today, but they were called changelings long time ago. And, you know, a common way to frighten a child was to tell them if they were naughty, the gypsies might come and steal them, take them away. You know, those were the ways that people thought and spoke, you know, a century or so ago. But nevertheless, there's an inner knowing that one cannot account for. One simply knows certain things that one was never taught, at least not here on this planet. For many, school, as is currently given, can be almost intolerable, as it so conflicts with what one knows inwardly. There's like an innate knowledge of cosmic and universal truth principles. And, you know, when you hear someone speaking about, you know, the absolute nonsense that's taught, for example, in our history, and about our origins and all of that, it's like, you know, it sets up a great conflict in many of these children. Personally, and I'm, you know, this is my personal point of view, okay? This is not from the highest of the high. But personally, I don't believe that education as it's taught today does anything helpful. I think college and university actually runs a person more than it assists them. Oh, it might get you a job, maybe. But I think now with the changes that are upon us and what we are actually moving into, that homeschooling and self-education is going to be far more valuable than anything that you could get in, you know, what's offered out there now, with the exception, perhaps, of some private schooling and some, well, for example, the educational system given throughout India that was started by Satya Sai Baba. That's excellent. The schooling system started by Rudolf Steiner, the Waldorf schools. Excellent. The Montessori schooling system is good as far as the teacher is concerned, because there's a great difference between the teachers that are really awake and those that are not quite there. But I would say in general, those are some of the schooling systems that I know that are, you know, really, really good, and I'm sure there's others out there as well. But just saying, you know, as an aside, I wouldn't be too terribly concerned if your child does not want to continue on into the university system or whatever. And so now we're going to go back to where I'm attuned more to the direct transmission, okay? My personal self aside. So often the soul will select some means to avoid having to go through the customary educational system and its indoctrination. For example, dyslexia, attention deficit disorder, autism, the inability to sit still and focus, even some form of handicap, vision or hearing impediment, is often adopted to escape the third-dimensional programming and illusion that all learning here entails. So I wouldn't be concerned about trying to medicate and use all of these various chemicals and whatever to treat these situations. I would rather look at it as a very strong possibility that is the soul using this as a way to avoid getting programmed into the illusion that we operate here and call reality. The other extreme can entail such extraordinary intellectual brilliance that it simply cannot be accommodated by the current educational system. And this is what happened with my cousin and my nephew. There was just no place for a young child of that brilliance to be accommodated within the existing educational system. And so these extraordinary star children are either homeschooled or self-regulated and self-educated on their own. And if your child tends towards that, fine, let it be. One other thing, many of these children report every night when they leave their body in so-called sleep, they go up into a cosmic school of wisdom on the inner planes. And many of them come back telling the things that they've learned that, you know, makes what we have here on this planet seem like kindergarten. So they're receiving training and education that's appropriate to their missions and what they're going to actually need for guiding Earth and Earth's humanity into the future, which is what they've come in to do. So, star children, we star children, pass through the usual stages of biological growth and maturation because we come in and are born in an Earth body, which comes under the biological so-called norms of the third-dimensional Earth plane. They can be transcended. You know, once you awaken to who you are, you can raise your vibration to a higher level of frequency and operate in the higher levels of expression. But if you just come in and assume you're a physical body like most people on this planet do, as a star child, you have to kind of adjust to that. But there's some very strange differences in many cases. And what I'm going to share with you right now was how I experienced coming in to an Earth body and experiencing it. Regardless of the age of the child, we always feel older than the adults around us, which to us seem like children. I always had that feeling, like I had to take care of my mother because she was so innocent. And, you know, things of that nature may come up for some of you. We may initially be very confused, put off, or repulsed by the reproductive process as is considered normal to the human body. The onset of menstruation and seminal emissions or wet dreams during puberty may give rise to great embarrassment, shame, and depression. I know one very beautiful young lady that was a Sai Baba devotee. When she was like the embodiment of purity and perfection. She was just the most amazing young girl. But as soon as she got her period the first time, she freaked out. She felt like she was absolutely violated and impure, and she fell out of a tree when she heard her younger brother up in the tree, and in distress, she went up the tree to rescue him and fell down and died. And we knew really afterwards that she had left the body because she was so shocked by the onset of her period. I remember when my mother told me the facts, so-called, of life and how children were conceived. I went in the bedroom and I cried and cried. I couldn't imagine my parents doing that. I couldn't imagine how that could produce a child. It just seemed so bizarre to me, because I came in knowing and remembering what were told about, in Catholicism at least, about Immaculate Conception. I remembered that we co-created new life forms through meditation, through the joining of our light rays and intention, and through specific invocations and ritual joining, we merged and became one with our partner. Not through intercourse, but through light being merger. So that each cell is joined in light infusion. Every single cell is penetrated with the light from the cell of our partner in infused union. And that's how a new being is brought into manifestation, at least where I come from on Venus. And I remembered that very specifically as a child. So it seemed very normal to me that people would pray to God, and God would cause a conception to occur in the woman. And that is how a child was conceived. That was my understanding. So I was totally shocked when, you know, I was told so-called facts of life. And I'm giving a very, very star seed, star child impression of how that impacted me personally. There may be some of you that have had a similar experience, and thus that's why, because you're remembering that. Where I come from on the dimension of Venus, there is no infancy. The child that is co-created in meditation by the joining of the light bodies and light rays of the parents arrives as a precocious, fully conscious being of seven years old, in terms of Earth's understanding. The maturation is rapid, and they are, you know, they're regarded, the parental relationship is one of, you know, relating to another, you know, another son of God, another child of God, another manifestation of the Supreme Source. And so they grow up as friends and co-creative partners rather than seen as children or, you know, co-opted in any way as being, you know, their child. You know, there isn't a concept of me and mine and theirs and, you know, that sort of concept just doesn't exist where I come from. So that was my experience. It was very, very odd. Oh, and the other thing, I was convinced that I was in a convent for a while, almost became a nun. And as a young child, I was convinced that priests and nuns didn't have any private parts. Surely, surely they didn't go through this thing called menstruation. You know, so I was always trying to peek through the curtains, you know, to see if I could see the nun when she was taking her clothes off. And this is the impression of a very young star child trying to sort herself out and trying to figure out why the reality I had been born in was so different from the reality that I had come from and the world that to me was accustomed. Now, the explanation for this strangeness is that the Earth body has evolved in terms of its form, not its consciousness, but its form has evolved from the animal kingdom. So, as I've said in previous seminars, the third kingdom in nature is the animal kingdom. The fourth kingdom of nature is a hybrid of the third kingdom, and it's moving into the fifth kingdom of souls. So, the earth, human, is like a bridge between the animal to the divine. It's an evolutionary bridge. The consciousness, however, comes as perfection, as a God drop, so to speak, from the ocean of divine perfection that we call the Source, the original creator. So the consciousness and the form are two different things. The form evolves. The soul descends and infuses the physical instrument. So it's important to realize that distinction. Or not, I mean, you know, or not. The other thing was that I and many, many star children find ourselves allergic to everything. I couldn't think of anything I could eat as a child that didn't make me sick. I was always having a bellyache. I had one boil after another on my butt. I was always carrying a pillow around to sit on, but it was my body trying to throw off the toxicity of the food that I was being given. And I had tonsillitis, and, you know, the adenoids and the tonsils had to come out. You know, in those days, that's what they did. They cut them out rather than realizing the tonsils are trying to combat the toxicity in the body. So that happens to star children, is that they may come in colicky, they may have lots of allergies, they may complain of digestive difficulties, colic, so forth. Or, another thing, I went through, we may only want to drink our food. I had such a fear of choking that I wouldn't eat anything that was hard and crunchy like nuts. I would eat mashed potatoes, orange juice. That's about it. That's about the only thing you could get down me. And always very afraid of choking. And maybe some of you have that situation too. Now, on my planet, we're called God eaters. In other words, we consume the vital force of prana, and we ingest it through every cell of our body, which is a light body. It's not a physical dense body. It's an etheric body. But we absorb the nutrients from, God. God, which is light, omnipresent light and love and sound. We actually consume that as our food. On certain dimensional planes of Venus, they do eat. They do have, I'm not from the astral realm. The astral realm, they have food. They eat fruits and vegetables and things. But the place that I come from, I can't recall us eating at all. We just absorb the God essence. The other thing is, some of the people from my world, depending upon which dimension, drink. They drink a beautiful crystal nectar. It's white, it's crystalline, and it's a lovely nectar. It tastes a lot like Sai Baba's Amrita that he used to manifest. It tastes very much like that. And that gives you all the nutrients and everything that you need, too. Those of you who have been taken up on one of our spaceships probably have had this drink, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. My girlfriend, who comes from Andromeda, drinks a blue drink. She speaks of a blue drink. That, in fact, here on the Earth, she likes a particular drink, too. One of those, I forget what you call them, sports drinks that comes in a blue color. That's what she drinks. And she doesn't eat hardly anything. She just likes this blue drink. Another thing, we may choose to eat only one thing for a while. I remember I went through a stage where I only wanted pancakes. No syrup, no butter, just pancakes. And that's the only thing I would eat. There was a little girl living at Prana, John Rogers Ashram. And if you could get her to eat a couple little slices of carrot, and maybe a lettuce leaf, it was good. It was a good day. I never saw the child eat more than maybe a bite or two of a carrot or a little piece of lettuce or something like that. That's all she would eat. And she was perfectly healthy. Another thing, many children, I had pica. Pica is where you eat normally things that you're not supposed to eat. I really liked to eat the wood off of lead pencils. I really like those art gum erasers we used to have. I like chalk. I liked handfuls of butter. I used to eat salt by the handfuls. Lemons. Of course, that's not too odd. But it is when you prefer a lemon for dessert rather than ice cream. I would say that's a tad odd. That was me. And the body was obviously trying to get nutrients that it couldn't get, you know, in the earth food. So if your children go through that, oh dear, well, just do the best you possibly can to match their need with something that's helpful. And, you know, when I was growing up, people were so unaware of nutrition or anything like that. You probably don't have that problem as much today as back then. My suggestions would be to allow your child to lead the way in terms of what they eat. I'm talking about these advanced kids. Put a variety of wholesome choices before them on their high chair, you know, their little high chair tray. Just put a, you know, a handful of several different things that are healthy and let them select what they want. You know, never force them to eat or force them to do anything for that matter. But give them choices and make available things that would be helpful and good for them. Pay attention to what they prefer. And do not enforce anything on these children. They respond to love and clear, firm direction and requests. But if you start to enforce and get heavy with them, they are so sensitive, you will damage their very, very fine nervous system and subtle bodies. So you have to be very gentle and very clear and treat them as young adults. Don't talk down to them as children. They just hate that. I used to ask people why they would change the tone of their voice when they spoke to me. And at three, I had such an enormous vocabulary that it was, you know, it was just shocking. And I would always tell people that I needed some privacy. And, you know, if they come in to wash your back when you're taking a bath or whatever, I said, if you don't mind, I would prefer having some privacy. I mean, I talk like that at three. So some of these kids do. They tell you very clearly when you're encroaching on their privacy or their territory or just invading their consciousness. They'll let you know. So parents basically just stay present, mindful, and just kind of be aware of how to safely accommodate the needs of your star children and, you know, within their reasonable range. and usually these children are very reasonable. You know, we're the ones that act stupid sometimes when we're not aware, but these star children, they'll let you know. I would say also never, ever hit or verbally abuse one of these children. They are so sensitive. Communication. This can be a challenge in many situations because these kids come in naturally telepathic, and they're not used to having to speak audibly. I was so absolutely infuriated one time when I wanted my parent to pick me up from the crib and put me on my side because when I would turn over in the crib, all of the sheets would get bunched up under me. And I kept sending the message, you know, telepathically over and over and over. They didn't get it. I can remember just screaming and yelling and crying in frustration. So that's awful for a child when they, you know, the parent is so dense, they absolutely don't get it. So these kids may not even realize that they're not communicating audibly. And for this reason, some of these children are very late in developing verbal skills, while others may begin speaking from their infancy. So, you know, or at least earlier than most of their, you know, age group. So these are some of the things that I've found are very, very prevalent, very common amongst the star-seeded children. The best approach is to clearly explain how things operate here on this physical dimension. Also explain how we are not limited when we are operating in other dimensions and within other planetary worlds. Help them to understand this is just one of many worlds. In fact, most of them know that because they're in these schools on the inner planes. But we had a child at Prana when I was living in John Rogers Ashram here in Los Angeles. It was a 9-month-old baby, and John Rogers said, I need one of you initiates to work with this baby because it keeps ending up in the hospital because it doesn't want to be on the planet, keeps trying to die. And so I volunteered to take care of this child, and the child was from a place that John Rogers called the land of the 21st order. And it's a land of light beings that can fly and fly through solid objects, so-called solid objects. They never experience pain, and they have no sense of bodily limitation. Well, the baby was upset because it would try to walk through walls, and of course it would bump itself, fall down, and get hurt. So I remember sitting in front of this child, who would be sitting in front of me, looking at me in the face and the eyes, and explaining to her that the land that she came from operated differently than this planet here. That here, we can't use our physical body to go through walls and things because, you know, we bump and it hurts. But when she is out of her body, when she goes to sleep at night, she can go to her home world and then she can fly through objects and do what she's used to doing. And so every day I would spend a period of time talking to her. I spoke to her telepathically and also audibly in my mouth and explained to her the difference, you know, that most people in this world are not conscious to where they can communicate mind to mind like we could, but you have to talk to them with your mouth. And so after I worked with her for a while, she never ever again tried to leave her body, and she grew up to be a lovely young lady. So that's one of the experiences I had working with a child from the land of the 21st order. Another child who's now a young lady that I worked with came from the land of the 25th order, which was a school of divine prophets. And this young lady had a real fear of stepping into her knowing. She came in very logical, very almost what you'd call left-brained, but not really, because she could read anybody by looking at them from the time she was a little girl. She could read a person's intention, psychology, their quirks of character, all of that she could see very clearly. But only now is she starting to open up a little bit to what we would call the unseen dimensions of life. So sometimes a person has a prophetic gift, but they're really afraid to trust it, and they have to go through a cycle of where they're very analytical, very left brain, very, you know, show it to me, prove it to me, you know, they doubt everything. So sometimes they'll go that direction too. So you can't always tell. But there's a time and a perfect manifestation of that gift. And you just have to trust that. And they know what they're doing. They totally know what they're doing. Another very frustrating thing for me as a child was not being able to physically fly. I clearly related to, when I saw Sai Baba the first time, I thought, well, that I can relate to. That's a homeboy. Where I come from, everybody does what Sai Baba does. They materialize things through thought. You know, they have all these cities, all of these abilities that just naturally comes in the dimension that I'm from. And one of them was being able to fly. And I flew all the time on the inner realms. And so sometimes these kids can't tell the difference between being in the physical body and being out of the physical body. They'll be accused of daydreaming. Like in school, I'd be traveling, soul traveling out the window, you know, on a beautiful day. Who wants to sit and listen to some stupid boring subject droning on and on, when you can leave your body and go out and dance, you know, in the clouds and sunbeams. And so very often I was out of my body doing that, and then the next minute I'd hear somebody pronouncing my full name, you know, they always say your full name, and shouting at me and jolting me back into my body. I had that so often as a child. And so, you know, that's when we start, children are accused of being inattentive, poor students, whatever, you know, the drill. But it's because we're just not in that same timeline. So many of the children arriving now on the planet report being taught in these advanced schools of cosmic wisdom. And it's so far in advance of anything taught here on Earth as to make it seem laughable. So you don't need to worry about these children. They come in knowing who they are and what they need to do, and it comes to them at the right time. And nearly everyone knows they have come to help the people of Earth to adjust to the new Earth and to come through these this great shift of consciousness we are now passing through. And preceding our entry into the Golden Age, 2020, 2050, everything will be shifted. Everything will be different. Everything will be changed. All of the prophets, without exception, say there will be no money, no governments, that everything you see today on the planet will not be on the new Earth. It will be pristine. It will be totally unlike the present-day Earth. It will be all love, peace, health, old age, disease, and death will be unknown in that new Earth. It'll be a totally different reality, nothing we could even imagine. But, you know, we're hearing it from enough people who have been given that mission of giving us a foretelling and a foretasting of what we're moving into, that I think we can just say that that's the way it's going to be and rejoice. So while it can be helpful to explain that each soul, each person on Earth is exactly where they are meant to be according to their soul's destiny, it is important not to indoctrinate them into any set dogma, religious dogma especially, as to what it is or must be. I would say it's wise to expose them to information and allow the soul to gravitate to what it's drawn to. Don't try to enforce a belief system on them. Educate them in universal principles and living ethics, such as truth, right action, peace, love, harmlessness, and teach them to respect and care for all living things, to always give something in return for whatever one takes. For example, from Mother Earth, the natives would never think of taking anything from the earth without giving an offering of cornmeal or tobacco or smoking the peace pipe or giving something. Many of the native cultures give, this is going to sound gross to maybe some of you, but many of the native cultures will give their menstrual blood to the earth or the placenta when they've given birth. Or they will give whatever it is that they're say, for example, they're taking one of their sacred drinks in Peru. They will always offer to the four directions some of that drink or whatever they're eating. And they never take without giving, and they never take without requesting. You know, if you're going out to pick sage, for example, as sometimes we do here, you never take the sage without asking permission of the native elders, if it's, you know, in spirit, not the spirit elders, not the physical ones, if it's, okay, if you take some sage. And you also will thank the sage plant and the deva of the sage plant. You know, it's living conscious, you know, conscious. a very good thing to do is to instill a quiet time each day for your child. No matter, just decide which time of day it's best for you, where there's no media, just a period for the child to be alone in their own room and quiet. Teach them early on to be still and to turn their attention inward, to connect with their inner knowing or inner wisdom. Teach them to ask themselves before they do anything, to check their heart and inner knower if this action is spiritually clear. Teach them how to act like that. And if it's clear, there will be no fear or guilt or doubt, no negative feeling at all if it's clear in spirit. And through this training, your child will keep, will keep parents, you parents on your toes and more spiritually aligned. You have to really stay aware to raise these kids, because they can really see, they can really tell when you're off balance, off center, so you can't fool them. Often these children are our master teachers, but they do need strong guidance and guidance for self-discipline, self-monitoring, and to begin with, guidelines to know how to direct their energy productively and how to not misuse their power. Common forms of misusing power include a forcing or attempting to enforce or force anyone to do anything against their will. You know, the prime directive, non-violation of free will. This includes bribery, deceit, lying, trying to control, manipulate outcome. This is all abusing power. And suggest, never demand, coerce, nor manipulate. Emotional tyranny is where sometimes a person will use their emotion to cause you to do something, to manipulate you. You know, if you love me, then you will, you know, whatever. Teach them not to do that. That's an abuse of power. Never, ever curse or verbally mistreat another, be it an animal or a human. Of all the emotions, anger is the most violent, dangerous manifestation of the ego. It is the cause behind all violent crimes. Immediate time out will give the child and or yourself time to calm down and regain sanity and composure. An angry person is totally insane and unconscious and cannot be reasoned with, but only contained until sanity is restored. So that's something you really have to teach your child, not to allow anger to overcome them. Not encroaching on another person's space and property or consciousness is another thing. Not violating their privacy and never touching anyone's personal items unless you're asked their permission. And the same with healing or even praying for them. We are not allowed to ever try to change another person's consciousness. That is their private domain. So, I hope this information has been helpful, whether you're parenting a star child or mentoring them or are a star child. These are, you know, this is what's happening on the planet today, and they're coming in. Oh, they're coming in by the thousands now. So, that's the hope of our world, the hope of our future. And we just send our love and our light and our blessings as a collective group of lightworkers and star-seeded ones to bless all of the youth, all of the children that are on the planet. And may we be good examples. May we be voices of loving wisdom. And may we live in a way that they can admire and emulate the best of us. So, I run a little over time tonight, but I wanted to share all of this with you that I possibly could. So, we're going to go out chanting three Anai Hues, And as we do, let's hold the intention of just sending our love to all of the youth, all of the beautiful children on our planet, all of the misguided ones and confused ones, all of those who are suicidal and don't know why they're here. Let's just see them awakening and finding their purpose and finding their happy place inside and connecting with their wisdom. Shall we do that? Deep breath. You or Anai you or both. So God bless you. God willing, I'll be with you next Wednesday, same time. Namaste.